Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Pointless Sports Opinions' own Pointless Wrestling Opinions, PWO. And let me tell you, we got a great show lined up for you here today. I got my boys, the usual crew. I got Luke, I got Chandler, and we're here and we're going to talk everything you need to know about Survivor Series and other recent WWE news. We had the William Regal news that's been coming out. This was recorded 12/5, so on a Monday, so if we miss some Monday Night Raw stuff, I apologize. But overall, great podcast. We break down every single Survivor Series match, and yeah. Make sure you follow us at PSO Sports 1 on Twitter and Instagram, and Pointless Sports Opinions on everything else. Also, check out my boy Baker. We got BAK3R on Twitch. Check him out. He's been putting in work. You can see me play as well. We play Fortnite. We play everything. And also on that same channel, we do something we like to call a watch party. We get all the boys from our Discord, and we watch every single WWE and AEW pay-per-view for free on the Discord. So if you're interested in that, hit us up. It is all free. We're just giving back to the community. So yeah, if you're interested in watching WWE and AEW pay-per-views for free, ask us about the Discord. We'll send you a link and we'll be good to go. But yeah, hope you guys enjoy the podcast. And Blaine, send us on the way. Up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Pointless Sports Opinions' very own wrestling podcast, PWO, Pointless Wrestling Opinions. I'm the big dog, Chasey J. I'm joined alongside two of my best pals. We got the Chandy Man, Chandler London. How the hell are you?
I'm doing great. I'm tired, but we're here. It's going to be fun. I'm ready.
You excited? Excited for some Survivor Series?
I'm always excited.
So Survivor Series action was pretty fun. Yeah, Luke,
good one.
I'm also joined with him, my boy, LB.
Late.
LB1515.
We're a week late, but yeah, let's roll it, baby.
Yeah, we are a little late, and I apologize for that. I'm going to try to put this out the same night. You think that's fucking possible? You think it's possible to
get me off my ass
and make a podcast and put it out the same night? I think I can do it tonight.
No rush, big dog.
I think I can do it. In case you guys didn't know, it's like 3 months ago. But Survivor Series did happen. It did happen. We're a little late on the pod. But it just gave us, you know, a little more time to really think about what happened. Think about the matches and everything. And that's what we're going to be doing here. We're going to be talking about Survivor Series. Okay, let's start a new thing here. I'm going to ask you guys individually. Overall, how many stars out of 5 are you guys giving Survivor Series? Chandler,
I'll say 3.
I like that. I think that's a good one. Luke?
I got to look at the matches real quick. I see two really good ones. But besides that, I'd say like 2.5.
I think I'm going to go with the 2.5 as well. And I think me and you are on the same page too with that. I think there's two matches that really stuck out, and then there's a whole lot of shit. So this might be a quick podcast. I don't know. But yeah, let's get right into it, shall we? It started out, we had the women's War Games match. Luke, can you name everybody in the women's War Games match?
Yeah. Let me go back here. Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Bayley, Rhea Ripley, and what's the other one? The crazy that threw
Nikki
the
Cross.
Nikki Cross versus Bianca and the rest
Asuka?
Of the group. The rest of the group. Asuka, Alexa Bliss, Mia Ying, and who's the last one? Becky Lynch.
Yeah. Bianca's team won. I thought overall it was very. I like the improv aspect of it. It seemed like they improvised a lot of things. Me and you were talking about this because also, by the way, if you guys are interested in watching these pay-per-views for free, make sure you ask us about the Discord. We can get you in there. But yeah, I just had to do a quick plug there. But me and Luke were talking about this on the Women's War Games match. I think that Nikki Cross, I like her. I just loved her in this match, period, because she kind of has given me like a woman's version of like Mick Foley type feel. Like the crazy ass, like she's bringing out the fucking kendo sticks. You know, she's the girl in the Royal Rumble. She's not jumping in the ring. She's immediately going under it and just throwing some trash can lids in there and raising hell. You know, I like the Nikki Cross character a lot in this match.
I liked it that they brought a lot of like weapons into the match too. Instead of just being a regular old boring match.
Couple good table spots too.
There was.
Especially at the end, that's how it all ended. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good. It was a good opener. Like every single Bianca versus Damage Control, basically, it was very fun. It felt like it was a fun match. Lots of botches in this one. But I feel like it's very similar to the TLC match that Bianca and Bayley had. I thought it was fun to watch. Chandler, what do you think?
I thought it was fun, good opener, kind of like let people know if you never watched like NXT and stuff, like what the War Games match was going to be. And then I liked like all the like little teasing stuff, because I would like between Rhea and Becky, I think that'd be a good future rivalry.
Yeah.
I really liked Alexa on this match too. I don't care what they do with her as long as they get rid of the superhero crap. I'm glad they went back with what they did with her. But
now, I want to talk about these girls individually in some points here. Because first thing I got to say, Dakota Kai, I'm sorry. Once again, this is not the first time I've said this on the pod and won't be the last. Chandler was right. Chandler was fucking right. Dakota Kai is a very good wrestler. She's grown on to me to the point where I like her. She was great.
She changed on the pay-per-view.
In the middle of the pay-per-view, I was like, all right, I'm it. I'm sold. Dakota Kai's good.
And Io Sky's bad, you said.
Io Sky, I got them confused, apparently. Io Sky's the fucking botch. God damn, she botched almost every spot she had. Until the end, that top of the cell move was pretty good.
I still like Dakota Kai. I just feel like, I don't know. Like, she reminds me kind of like how AJ was or something. She's nothing like crazy. It's just, I've always liked her, I still like her as a wrestler and whatnot. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just because she's with Damage Control or something. Because whenever she was, like, on her own or not with Rodriguez, is like her, like the Kevin Nash to her Shawn Michaels back then or something.
Okay.
Like, she was good as, like, a solo act and stuff like that. But I don't know. Maybe it's just because she's with Damage Control, or maybe I just feel like they're not doing much with them. Even with the tag belts on them, like, I don't know. I still like her a lot. But it's just, I don't know. Her and EO just aren't doing it for me. I'm still a fan, but
she does good on promos too. Like
yeah.
I get what you're saying, where it feels like she's kind of forced into this, like, I don't even know how to compare it. Like just a tag team role whenever, I don't know. I think she's gonna have a good, if they do an arc where she leaves the group and everything, I think she's gonna be like kind of like a Shawn and Marty type situation where
I'm still very much a fan of her. It's just, I don't know, maybe I'm just done with the whole Damage Control thing, I think.
I mean, she started the match too, so
yeah.
Props to that. Against
that's
Bianca.
Always fucking hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Against Bianca, yeah, as well. Yeah. Rhea, another. Who would I compare her to during the? I can't remember. Was it Lesnar? I compared her to somebody.
You did compare. I forget who it was.
Because she's just a fucking hoss, dude. Like, she's just...
She's like... She reminds me of China, but
was
just...
Was it China?
China. It was China. That's it.
She just oozes way more charisma.
Yeah. China was horrible in the fucking mic. China needed DX, you
and
know.
Rhea's like 26 years old.
It's insane. I think... I hope she has a better run than China did, because China, I mean, China was the first woman IC belt holder. You know, I think Rhea could fucking hold the IC title, if I'm being honest. You know?
You see her, like, manhandle Luke Gallows and them on Raw during their rivalry and crap. She's freaking strong.
Dude, she's built like a fucking tank. I love Rhea. That was a great spot with the Tajiri miss to the face. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. Luke, what do you think about Rhea?
She's dominant. I don't know how anybody can beat her. Supposedly, they're talking about maybe throwing her into the men's Royal Rumble.
Really?
Yeah,
they did it with they did it with Nia Jax, and let me tell you, that was a fucking horrible idea because she's a terrible wrestler.
Yeah,
and
but I mean, Rhea would hold her own.
Rhea would. Rhea would get
Rhea
a pop.
Rhea would make it look good.
Rhea would get a pop for sure. Like that'd be fucking awesome. I look forward to that. All right, we got it. I mean, yeah, Bianca's team won. Great spot at the end with the what is it?
It's like a leg drop off the like.
Off the top
buckle,
of the
or was
yeah
it off
through
the top
a table
of the cage.
Yeah top of the cage through
I think
the
it was like on Dakota
table.
Or something
yeah I think Dakota took
Becky
the,
got the win right
yeah Becky did the good old mother but yeah I thought it was a good opener I liked it
I liked it.
Next match we had AJ Styles versus Finn Balor I think on our stream as well when me and Luke were watching this I was like this is going to be the match of the fucking night and goddamn I was wrong what
it should have been
you know what this reminds me
paper.
Of this reminds me of Shinsuke versus AJ that was it's just kind of like you know these two have chemistry you know these two are incredible workers but goddamn they did not work well together at all in this match.
It's one of those, like, paper matches where you see it on the card, you're like, oh, this can be great, and then it happens. Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
You don't remember anything.
Chandler, what do you think? Because you're usually the voice of reason behind all this.
Well, no, I'm biased towards it. Like, I thought it was fine. It was nowhere near their, what was it? I think, like, TLC, maybe, like, 2017. Remember that? It was supposed to be like Bray versus Finn, their gimmicks,
yeah.
and Bray was sick, so AJ filled in on the pay-per-view. That match was way better.
That was
this
an incredible.
Like,
impromptu,
like,
too.
You know they can do it. It's just I didn't care about the rivalry. It felt rushed. Like, they didn't make it feel like personal or nothing like that. It was just like Bullet Club former leaders or whatever, but it was it felt like they both just got each and every one of their little moves in from their moveset, and then it was just done. It felt way too fast because I could just watch those guys go forever, but it just felt so like – It's like each of them got both their moves in. You know, you're going to have the run-in interference from both teams, run them out into the arena. And then it was just, I don't know. It could have been a lot better.
Also, you had the element. You had, you know, the OC outside. You had Judgment Day outside. Didn't really feel like, I don't know. They weren't, like, that significant in the match. Like,
no.
It felt like there could have been a lot more spots out of this. Like,
they got eliminated quick.
Yeah, and you have so much history. Yeah, you have so much, like, yeah, history between these two as well. Like, not even WWE based. I'm talking global. And it just felt like if you would have told me this was the match that somebody got sick and replaced the other one in, I would have believed it. But, yeah, like you said, I do remember that. That was when you said Bray and Roman. Yeah, Roman was out, too.
Yeah.
Because that's when Kurt
Angle.
Yeah,
that's what made him don make the Shield gear and the
Hell
vest
yeah.
and everything.
He started out the match with an Olympic slam to the fucking table?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I remember that. That was great. I probably watched that with Luke fucking back in the day. But, yeah, it just felt like they could have did more with this.
I just felt like it could have honestly just given more time so that way the match could have felt more fleshed out because to me it just felt kind of rushed.
And also, on top of everything, AJ Styles, he ends up getting the win. I don't understand Judgment Day anymore. I don't. Because when Edge was in charge of the group at the beginning, I really felt like this is going to be like a, not like Bloodline's its own different breed of, like, that's tier one, you know? And, like, I thought this could at least been like a tier two or tier one B faction, you know? Like, a good faction. But now it kind of feels like it's falling off. Like, yeah. The OC is more interesting than them right now.
You don't really know where they're going with it.
Yeah. Well, factions to me have always been, like, honestly kind of scary, just because, like, not, like, actually, but it's just, like, booking-wise, like, what they're going to do with them. Like, how do you build, like, factions up? Because it's just, like, the Bloodline's been the last good thing of the last 2 years. Before that, I don't think there's been a good faction since the Shield. I don't think so at all. So I just, like, it could just go either freaking way with factions, like Damage Control, the OC, Judgment Day. I'm just like, what are you doing with any of these guys? Are, like, the OC going to stick together, or did they just get rehired and thrown into this storyline with Judgment Day? Their rivalry's pretty much done. Where are they going? Are they going to keep together those three, or are you just going to put the Good Brothers back as just a tag team and have AJ go solo? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, then again, I wouldn't be surprised if they just fucking throw the OC out of the book.
Caught him again. Yeah. Once again, yeah.
Because, like, yeah, think about it. I mean, they did the same thing with fucking Omos. Like, that, there was no real resolution there. It was just kind of like,
this ain't the first time we've seen, like, the OC together.
Yeah.
Right. The second, third stint.
The OC's getting to be like, it's getting to be like Evolution, where it's like, if they're going to be together, they're going to be together for a month or two. You know, this ain't 2006 anymore. We ain't rolling out fucking Batista, Randy Orton, Triple H, and Rick anymore. You know? Like,
honestly, the best thing they could do is split them all up and then put the OC in the tag division, because there is nobody. It's just the Usos and then New Day, and then Butch and Ridge Holland. Because, I think Street Profits, they're out right now because one of them's injured. And then you got, like, Alpha Academy, but what have they been doing?
I think that's a really good idea. That's a good idea.
Like, you'd have to, like, put OC in there, but other than that, I agree. I could see them, like, just being cut again. I have no idea what they're going
to
do
with
all
these
people.
Go back to New Japan.
Yeah, just leave. I mean, they left last time because they were being underused, and fuck, we might be getting to that point again. But I think I like – what if they do, like, AJ's never held the WWE tag belt, has he?
Yeah, with Omos.
Omos, yeah. Why can't you do like a free bird rule type thing with fucking the OC? You know, have them all involved. And that way you have AJ Styles a part of it too. That gives it the pizzazz if you don't think Gallus and Anderson can do it on their own, which they fucking can. But, you know how WWE thinks.
I mean, like, unless WWE brings in trios like AEW.
I don't think you can do that. I'm not a fan of the trio. Because
it's a lot of guys.
The trios belts were just too much. I'd rather do the Freebird rule and just switch up which two defending. Because, like, the tag belts over there at AEW, the trios tag team belts, that just feels too much to me.
Wasn't that what New Day was doing for the longest time, though?
Yeah, they brought back the Freebird rule.
They
were the only
team
that was doing it.
But that's, that rule's been in place.
Do it on any faction. Do it with Judgment Day. I don't know.
They've been doing that rule forever, like the Freebird. I'm trying to think of another fucking example, but I can't for some reason off the top of my head. I was going to say Evolution, but no, that was Flair and Batista.
Yeah.
I can't remember. There's another a bunch of groups have used the Freebird rule, so it wouldn't be – and like you said, like right now, the like Kofi and all them, they're using it. Why can't you just do it again? There's nothing wrong with that. But for Judgment Day – what do we think? I would say fucking split them up at this point. I'm at the point, Finn, maybe it's kind of like what we said about Dakota earlier, where it's like, hey, some people are just better on their own, you know? Like, Sean was probably better on his own. He wasn't, you know, I mean, him and Triple H were great, but whenever they were tag teaming together at DX in like 2000, what was it, 7 or 6?
Yeah,
7 and 8. It kind of felt like, okay, this team is an unstoppable force. There's nobody that can beat them because they are two top stars. Like, with Judgment Day, it's like Priest is kind of dropping in value. Like, goddamn, he's dropped a lot. Dominic's got this weird mommy Rhea thing that he's
beating
fucking doing.
Beating up his dad.
Beating up his dad is like his gimmick now. It's like, okay, cool. Go ahead, go with that. And then Finn Balor is like this leader of this island of misfit toys. And it's just, I don't think it's working that well. I think Finn would be great on his own going against Seth and them, you know, and Bobby and all them for the fucking U.S. belt. Like, throw him in that shit. Like, I don't know.
That's the only, I think that's the biggest reason why I'm glad they're still together. Because I don't want it either, but that's the only way that, like, they're utilizing Finn Balor right. Because I'm so scared if he goes on his own, they're not going to utilize him how he needs to be. And I honestly don't really care for this faction either, but I just like it because of how they're building Finn up. Because I know if he's on his own, they're not going to do it.
They haven't ever since he won the title.
Yeah.
Had to
it's
drop
ridiculous.
It.
Ridiculous. Or just have him be top mid-card, like, at all times or something. Yeah, against, like, Seth or anybody. Like, just have him go on a tear like he did in NXT. But And then Priest, too. That drives me nuts. Like, after he beat Sheamus, got the U.S. title, they're, like, testing the waters with him. And I was putting a lot of stock into him. I liked him. I loved the run. Then he dropped the belt. And then he aligned himself with Edge last year, or this year at Mania. And then all this. I'm just like, yeah, the value for Priest is going down for me, too.
Great. Yeah, I mean, he was literally one of the... Was it last year's Royal Rumble? Yeah, it was the year before that he had that huge... His huge entrance into the Royal Rumble and fucking was eliminated everybody. He was like, you know, there's always, every year there's always like a big guy that's kind of, I always say it's like 2002 Kane. When Kane came in there and he eliminated fucking 16 guys because he's the dominant guy. You know, they always have somebody that did it. And Priest felt like it was going to, he was going to be that guy. Like, he went in that Rumble. He killed it. He got a U.S. title run out of it. And now, yeah, like you said, it just feels like he's getting swept under. It feels like all of them, like, you'd think as a faction it would bring them all up, but I feel like we're at the point where Edge is gone, Rey's gone, or not Rey, out of the rivalry, I mean. And it kind of feels like that was the only thing that was holding Judgment Day together, was that rivalry, and now it doesn't. Judgment Day just seems like a low-tier faction to me.
Well, maybe slide them towards the Usos, then.
Something.
But they're I guess.
Well, I don't even know how... Like, I could see them being split before Mania, honestly. I still think they're gonna do Rey versus Dominic. And then I think I could see them pushing Rhea versus Bianca for the belt at Mania next year, too. I honestly could.
I would 100% be fine with that. But if they do that,
like, I'm not saying I know, but I just feel like that'd be the best way to go about both those two. But then what do you do with, like, Finn and Damian? Are you gonna have them do a tag team match without missing half the faction? Like, yeah. I don't know what you...
I think they have to have a title of some sort, right? Like,
what if Priest turns on?
Yeah, you could have
Finn?
Too. That'd be a great
genius idea
for Priest.
I fucking love that, and that would be great for Priest. You have
for Bauer. So it's just like, what do you
do? They have a WrestleMania match there.
You still have a Mania match. It's just,
and then everybody's accounted for. Yep. You know, you got Dominic, like, and Rey, Rhea, yeah.
Or just keep having them go on a tear and just build them up for, like, another big team at Mania or something. Because right now it's just like, I mean, I'm glad AJ got the win. I felt like he needed it more because Judgment Day just won, like, the last, like, two or three pay-per-view matches.
Yeah.
So, like, they're fine. It's just, I just don't know where they're going. It's just weird.
Yeah, I agree. All right. I think we're done with that match. Let's go to we had Shotzi versus Ronda Rousey for the fucking SmackDown Women's belt. As always, SmackDown's women division vastly disappoints.
If you guys haven't, go check out the TikTok too.
Yeah, I made a TikTok about it because Jesus. Yeah, I mean, people were huge. People were really high on Shotzi, including Triple H. A lot of NXT people love Shotzi as well. I am not familiar with her work, so this was my first Shotzi interaction other than the Women's Royal Rumble. And yeah, I didn't like the match at all. I thought it was really bad. There was a cool little fan spot in there, though, where they dove in and all the fans got, you know, kicked in the face and shit.
They just all fell over like dominoes really slowly.
They were down with them.
Down with them. I would have did I said this on the TikTok. I would have fell down. I've always wanted to be one of those guys because they're always like, he goes into the fans. He punched a fan. I want to be one of those quote unquote fans, you know, that are in the background and it's like, okay, go out there. You're going to take a super kick or go out there and you're just going to get fucking thrown through a table. I'd be like, hell yeah. Go ahead, and I'll go on there, and as soon as they jump on me, I'm dropping down, acting like I'm hurt, got my arms spread out. I do the kick up right into the fucking Ric Flair drop down, maybe. It would have been perfect. They would have turned the camera off and everything. But other than that, that is the only reason I wanted to talk about Shotzi versus Ronda.
That is true.
Okay, what did we think of the match, honestly, though?
It was just a boring storyline, once again, with Ronda.
Yeah, like, I haven't really – I've known who she was since NXT, but I've never really gone out of my way to watch Shotzi at all, so I don't really know what she's about. But good Lord. I have no idea. This was – that – but also, I don't think I'm going to blame her solely just because, like, I just want to see her work, like, other matches with other people and stuff like that because Ronda, it's just – I knew from the get-go it was not going to be good.
I did see on Twitter that little spot on the apron – where like it looked like a botch by Shotzi. Oh my god! And it was actually on Ronda. She held the rope.
She didn't follow through with the like drop.
Yeah. So she held the rope, and it was actually kind of on her fault.
There's a lot of botches in that match too.
And then who was the other one? Who's Ronda's friend that was out there?
Shayna
Baszler. She was out there to help. And
yeah, well, like this match was just so short. Like this was the one no one was interested in or asked for or wanted. Everybody knew it was going to be a boring match. It was. Yeah. I don't know.
It really gives me it's like worst case scenario Brock Lesnar from 4 years ago, where it's like. Everybody, Brock was still putting in good work, I guess. I mean, 5-minute matches with Goldberg and shit. But, I mean, remember how fans were? Everybody hated Brock. We wanted the fucking title off him. We were tired of it. It's like that, except Ronda's not a fucking draw. Ronda's not your main event. People aren't watching your pay-per-view to see Ronda Rousey anymore. Nobody cares about Ronda Rousey anymore. With Brock back then, it's like, holy shit, this is Brock Lesnar. This is the next big thing. He's got WWE heritage. He's got UFC heritage. This guy is, you know, even if everybody hates him, but guess what? This guy's a goddamn star. Ronda's at the point where when she got in the company, she was there. It's like, okay, we build Ronda up, you know, and we make her unstoppable, and then she lost to Becky. And then since then, Ronda has, I feel like, been lackluster. Lost the flame, and she's lackluster in the ring. She doesn't know what to do with her character. She doesn't play into the crowd. Heel, face, nobody fucking knows because people just genuinely don't want to see her as champion. And we're at the point now, Triple H is in charge. We got all these young, talented wrestlers. You know, we're talking about Rhea. We talk about Alexa. I mean, even Alexa Bliss looked great. Dakota Kai. All these people I would much rather have as SmackDown's women's champion than Ronda. I think that it really reminds me of, hey, we got this person that's a money hole. People are going to pay to watch Ronda, but I don't think those people are there anymore.
I think what the plan is here is it's going to be Ronda versus Raquel. Is that what her Shotzi's friend was?
Oh, yeah.
Rumble. And then I'm thinking it's going to be Ronda versus Charlotte again at WrestleMania.
Oh, my God. I hope not. Then just for both their sakes, you got to throw somebody else in.
Yeah, Rousey definitely lost her flame. And then right now they're also doing that bully gimmick, her and Shayna Baszler. They're going out there bullying everybody, so they just don't know what to do.
Wasn't she a face fucking 2 months ago?
I'm thinking I was rewatching that match like an hour or two ago, and I was just like, it was the one time where I was just like, please God, like where's Charlotte at?
Yeah,
just really? Do you think Charlotte's gonna get like a?
They got nobody on SmackDown, dude, and she's been gone. I just thought about it tonight. I was like, dude, she's actually been gone a while.
I think they said almost a year now.
Jesus.
Like, she's been gone a little while. Like, I know she, like, took time off to, like, get married and all that stuff. Maybe injuries. I don't think so. But I she's been gone a while. And they just don't have anyone on SmackDown. At this point, I don't care about Naomi and Sasha anymore. Like, you got to shift some people over to SmackDown. All those women in the War Games were all 10 from Raw, I think.
Yeah.
And, like, you just have, like, what do you have? Shotzi, Liv? I like Raquel.
Well, they had that six women table match or whatever. Build up who fought Rousey here. Shotzi won. Yeah.
I just don't remember who all was in it. I at this point, it feels like the women are just like the split for brands doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just floating around. But like, bring Charlotte back. I don't know about Sasha and Naomi at this point. I don't care anymore.
I think it's money for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
probably
care
it always is. I'm done with that. I want them to like bring Charlotte back. And then who else is I going to say? Oh, my God. I just had it. Or at this point, I feel like the only Ronda match I'd be interested in seeing is if they like – had Shayna turn on her and go face, because I feel like they're best friends. Yeah. They probably the only person that could probably get good chemistry out of Ronda because they train together all the time and shit. I feel like that wouldn't be bad, but at the same time, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you do with her. I feel like Charlotte has to come back.
We were talking about bringing talent, and they also brought Emma in back in.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with her too, because I know Triple H is high on her.
Yeah,
I like the Shayna thing because I didn't see that coming. But I mean, think about it.
They might not even do that.
Right now, there's not one wrestler, men or women, that is as negatively received and not in a good way as Ronda Rousey right now. I feel like because people just don't want to watch her matches. People don't want to be a part of her matches.
And she kind
of
dogs the company outside of it.
She does, yeah. And she seems like she, even outside the company,
she doesn't care.
No, she's like, oh, I can fucking be fine without it. It's like, okay, be fine without the company. Like, you hate the in and outs of the company. Your ideas fucking suck, by the way. Her ideas are horrible. I'm just talking so much shit on Ronda Rousey. She could kick my ass, so I'll remember that. But I like the Shayna idea because think about it. One of the main problems that Shayna didn't really get a push is her character's not really there. You know, people didn't really buy into it. If she becomes face, if she turns on Ronda, it doesn't matter what the fuck's going on. She's going to be a face.
Oh, she's
going
to be.
And she's going to be a top. Yeah, she's going to be
at the UFC.
Top.
She had like a UFC faction at NXT.
Yeah.
And they did really good. So.
Yeah, that was good. And like, she just didn't really talk too much, but she was just the badass. And you know, she's got the background and credentials to prove it. Like, she'd be a good opponent. I just know her and Ronda train together. They've been friends for a long time. Like,
maybe
I just feel
put
like
on
that's
a good
the
match.
Only person that could get a good match out of Ronda.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I feel like they're always saying that, but it's just like, it's always the same with her. At least, like, with Brock, he has the intensity to, like, make the matches entertaining and stuff like that. Because Ronda does the same thing. You can't harp on her for that. It's short matches, just short little bursts of what her moves are. But it's just, like, it's different with Brock. I don't know.
Yeah. Storytelling.
Like, and then also, I mean, like, just the rivalries. He's, like, I'm only comparing the two because of their backgrounds and, like, how they're booking them as, like, one, like just every once in a while stars. But I don't know. Like, you just can't. I just feel like she just hasn't been involved in a lot of great matches. Like,
like you said, the SmackDown talent for the women's just like
you just got, like all you have really for like big names is Ronda, Charlotte, Becky, and Bianca. I
Do
feel
you
want like.
To see Liv again? Like, not really.
No, not right now. Like, it maybe if they start making mid-card women's rivalries interesting, but the only women's matches that are ever on pay-per-views include the title.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, mid-card women rivalries do not exist. I'd be interested, because then you'd have more to do for some of the women.
Over but, under like, 10 women thrown from NXT into the women's battle royal, or the women's Royal Rumble. What the fuck are they going to do with that?
It's just like, I don't know, man. Like,
Rhea's
going to
enter three times.
It, but it's just, I don't know. Yeah. It's the women's division and the tag team. Other than that, like, I'm interested in seeing everything, but it's just like, holy cow.
I think you brought it. It'd be like, it's similar to Brock if Brock fought, like, mid-carders the whole time. It's like, hey, it's Brock versus Justin Gabriel. It's like, ah, fuck, I don't want to watch that. Like, no, it's Zach Gowen again. It's like, shit, I don't want to watch that. I want to see Brock versus top talent.
Well, and it's not even that, like, the women are, like, smaller than her or anything like that. No. It's just, like, they're not building them up to be believable. You're just throwing Shotzi out of here because she won a random six-woman match, or you got Liv because she just never looked credible to begin with. She was just a fan service champ.
Yeah.
And then it's just, like, Charlotte
worst
and Becky
case
are
Kofi.
The only – well, Bianca, Charlotte, and Becky are the only real believable contenders.
Okay.
And Raquel, I like her, but I feel like they got to build her up a little more, but I like her a lot.
Yeah, she's got some work, but I think she can. I don't know. Then again, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen with this division. Out of all the belts that they got going right now, I think that's the only one that's like the blaring pile of shit. I mean, sorry for the. I don't have that good vocabulary, so I couldn't think of anything else. Okay, next match. What was it? 4.5 stars from Dave Metzler?
Yeah, for this.
4.5 stars for this next match. Fucking match of the night for me. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. Yeah, the U.S. title match between Seth Rollins, Austin Theory, and Bobby Lashley. I mean, I could talk for fucking hours on this match. I loved all the spots. The way the guys worked well with the, you know, it's, I like anytime you can make a guy like Bobby, you know, it's hard for guys like Bobby, Brock, you know, Triple H, guys like that to look like actually really good in the ring, not just like storytelling wise. And these guys brought the best out in each other, I felt like.
Oh, 100%.
Chandler, what'd you think?
It was a good triple threat. I like where all three of these characters are going. It was upsetting seeing, because I don't know. I always want Seth to have a title because I feel like he just deserves it, but he doesn't need it. That's not me saying I don't want him to ever be world champ again, but he just doesn't need it right now, I feel like. Austin Theory needed it the most. Seth had a short reign, but I'm kind of glad they put it back on Theory to just further propel him after
also,
the failed cash-in and just everything for his character, which I said I like where this is going because he just hit rock bottom. And then Bobby, no matter what, he's still going to be an ass kicker. So, like, wherever he goes from this, he's fine. I don't know. Like, I
got
the
pin too.
But the match in general, yeah, that the match was fun. All the spots were great. Like, it was just everything flowed together.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Together really well. The only thing that scared me was the ending with the spear when Theory was held up in the suplex. That scared me.
Yeah.
I thought Theory was going to crash and burn bad, but it all worked out. But that spot scared me. But I thought it was – but at the same time, it was a cool finish.
I love the double hurt lock. Was fucking awesome. I was going nuts with Luke. I was like, oh, he's going to get both of them, and he did. I thought that was going to end the match. I was like, that would put Bobby to the fucking moon. That would have been like, hey, Bobby, you're going to be fighting fucking Roman here soon. Like, that would have been insane. But, Luke, what did you think about the match?
I loved it. It was really good. I mean, Seth, they all looked really well. Austin Theory, I think, shined the most, honestly. Just making his character look better and him winning the title was just looked good on him.
And yeah, we were talking about that while the pay-per-view was going on. If you want to watch it, let us know. We'll give you the Discord link. But yeah, we have live reactions to it. Me and Luke are watching it on Luke's Twitch channel.
On the Baker channel, baby.
On the Baker channel. I plug it before every pod. Don't worry. And me and Luke were talking about this match. And the thing I loved about it, Chandler, you talked about it a little bit too, Theory. They put Theory back. Like, this was it for Theory. Get rid of the selfie bullshit. This is what we all want. I feel like this is what we all wanted with Austin Theory. Get rid of the selfie bullshit. Get rid of all this other stuff. Just make it about how this guy is so pissed off that he's fucking – he lost the
bottom.
Hit rock bottom, and he's coming back. Yeah. So what's he going to do? First thing he's going to do is pin Seth Rollins for the U.S. title in a triple threat. That was – and he had great spots, great chemistry with everybody. I'm excited to see what they do with him.
I am too. Yeah. I'm a fan of him now.
I'm a fan.
I wasn't a fan of the selfie crap, but I'm a fan of him.
None of us. All of us were like, that guy did not, you know, like, what are they going to do with this Money in the Bank? We're all against it, and now look at it. This was a great job on WWE.
That's why I wasn't, like, so worried or saw the cash-in on the U.S. belt as a bury, because I just had a feeling Triple H was just completely repackaging all the bullcrap Vince had him do. And that's pretty much what he did. Like, he dropped the selfie gimmick, had him get rid of the briefcase. Honestly, it was weighing him down.
Brought his first name back.
Brought his first name back. And, like, I hope he doesn't end up being, like, a cowardly heel champion, because, like, I just want him to go on a tear, like how he attacked Seth a few weeks back, the week after he failed his cash-in. I want him to do crap like that.
I want him to keep going
down that path.
Go out and put maybe like a Shelton Benjamin type thing where it's like
something
like the gold standard. Remember when he was at with the U.S. title? Like, just put
on. He even like called Shelton out and beat him on Raw a couple weeks ago too.
I love it. I didn't see that. I wish I did. I love Shelton Benjamin. He's one of my favorite.
I know he's great.
But I want him to see him have like a type of run like that where he's just, that guy can put on good matches. You know he can. Like, just have him go out there and put on good matches. He doesn't need to do, you know, maybe if he gets a heel win every now and then, I'm fine with it. But if you just want him to be, you know, this guy that's just fucking grinding his way to the top. And I think he played the character perfectly. This
I like JBL.
Oh, you're getting a JBL
character. JBL character.
Okay.
Yeah. He just goes out there, whoops some ass.
Yeah, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. I'm all for it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I love this match. My favorite match of the night. I'm sorry, Jane. You got anything else to say?
No, I agree. It was just a really fun match.
It was. God, 4.5 stars too. I didn't know that.
That's kind of crazy. Yeah.
And you know, Meltzer hates fucking WWE, so you know that must have been a good match. And there's not. Yeah, they didn't need weapons. They didn't need crazy. You know, they
there was like a chair involved that got used a little bit, but other than that, it was just like each of them getting their moments to shine. The triple threat match, like spots involving all three guys here and there, just like counters. The jump off Theory's back into the stomp on Lashley was pretty cool. It was a little botched because Seth fell, but yeah. I thought that was a cool stomp.
That was cool. I like that. Me and Luke were talking about that.
Did he do a double stomp?
Yeah.
Yeah, back. Yeah. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, right. Yeah, I'm done with that one.
All right. Let's go about the men's War Games match, the main event. We had the Bloodline, Roman Reigns, Sami, Solo, and the Usos. I don't know why Solo is not a part of the Usos, but he's not. With, of course, they had the Wise Man, Paul Heyman. They had him alongside. And then they had the they went up against the Brawling Brutes. We had Sheamus, Ridge Holland. Look at that.
Yeah, there you go.
Remember his fucking name.
There you go.
I didn't remember his name. I'm reading it right now. Butch, Drew McIntyre, and Kevin Owens. Which, I mean, they're not a part of the Brawling Brutes, but they were a part of this match. I was super excited when I heard that they were going to bring War Games into Survivor Series. I think this is the best way to make Survivor Series fun. I loved this match, and the storytelling was fucking perfect.
Was.
Luke, tell me a little bit. How'd you feel about this main event?
It was great. I mean, just everything from the little details where I think the second entrance for the Bloodline was Sammy, because the other Uso was going to go. Jimmy was going to go out, but Roman pulled him back and told Sammy go out there and fight with Jay. So he did that. And then,
I forgot to talk about the backstage stuff, too. We had a lot of backstage fighting beforehand where, you know, Jay didn't know. Yeah, Jay didn't know if it was
Sammy was going to turn
heavily implied.
Talking
yeah.
to Kevin and. They had Kevin and Sammy as friendship.
Sammy lied about it. Yeah, Sammy had to have a private one-on-one conversation with the tribal chief himself, and he gave him a hug, and it was like, I thought it was all set up for a fucking turn.
Yeah, they made you think that Roman and them was gonna like either win the match or just like win and like turn on him at the end.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought we were gonna have like maybe some Evolution Randy Orton type thing where they just thumbs down his ass and beat the shit out of him, but no. Instead, at the end. Had Sammy fucking prove his worth for the Bloodline. And I did not see it coming.
He low-blowed KO.
He turned on his friend. He said, hey, I'm part of the
Bloodline.
Jay hit
a frog splash. 1, 2, 3, and those two hugged it out.
Great ending.
It was.
Great storytelling. Storytelling-wise, this is
that was probably five stars on storytelling.
Yeah, storytelling.
I swear.
There's, especially now, like, I'm thinking about it, and people are going to get mad at me for saying this. This is definitely an exaggeration. I'm not saying they're the same thing, but when we went, I mean, people don't know about it because we haven't put it out yet, but we talked about this on our WrestleMania podcast. We talked about a lot of, like, our favorite WrestleMania matches. Don't worry, they'll come out in a couple months. And we talked about one of my favorite WrestleMania matches of all time, which is Bret versus Stone Cold. And how there was so much in-depth storytelling between the two that's what made the match really good. This is it. Like, if there's a match you're going to give 5 stars to just because of storytelling, I think, Luke, you hit the nail right on the head. I think this is fucking
it. It's literally the opposite of Evolution.
Yeah.
It really is.
They're coming together. They're getting stronger towards the end. I mean, we think, in quotations. Chandler, what'd you think?
I liked it. Well, I don't know. Both the men's and women's War Game matches were about the same up there for me. They're both really fun, awesome matches. I mean, this one was all about the storytelling and whatnot. It had some cool spots, and I like the ending that they went ahead with Sammy proving his loyalty to the Bloodline. I thought that was good because, like, you know, something big's gonna happen later, just not that night. And then I love Sammy and Kevin Owens' chemistry together too. They can always just. I think that's what literally everybody says. Those two can just fight forever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
They need like a really good, just like, Triple H, Shawn Michaels type. I mean, I'll just say it. Just give them a fucking not as long. Maybe just a year long feud. But if those two, if we ever get to the point where the Bloodline ends, which at this point I never fucking know, and the titles are split back up. And, I mean, Kevin obviously can be champion again. I think him versus Sammy would be one hell of a fucking rivalry. Because this is long-term storytelling in the end.
I'd like seeing that.
Also, what did we think about... They really, really were pushing the Sheamus hit. Like, they really were pushing Sheamus in this match. Do we think this is, like, little breadcrumbs of maybe Sheamus? Is there any chance Sheamus ends this?
I think it's done because I think the next one to fight Roman supposedly Kevin Owens.
Yeah, because Roman went on I think Raw, like two nights after, and said he's like done with Sammy, doesn't want anything else to do with them, but he still wants to fight the Bloodline. I think they're like pushing Owens and Roman for like, if they do, this will be the third different Royal Rumble they faced off for a title at.
Really?
Yeah, they fought on like 2017, and then I think it was, what was it, 2021? Because that was the last man standing with the terrible botch.
Yeah.
With the handcuffs.
Yeah.
I remember one, the first time they fought at a Rumble, KO was champ. That was whenever Triple H screwed Rollins and gave Owens the belt. So this will be the third Rumble they fight for a title, for the world title at, if they do it again. And I heard Triple H is like, apparently he said recently he's dropping the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view and they're wanting to put a Hell in a Cell match at Royal Rumble. And if those two fight in the Cell, that would be amazing.
Get rid of basically every gimmick match except for Survivor Series War Games. I'm fine with getting rid of. Don't do TLCs.
Sounds like that's what they're doing.
Don't do Extreme Rules. Make these matches fucking interesting, which the whole thing about a Hell in a Cell, when Teddy Long came out and said, hey, you're fighting Undertaker this fucking weekend in Hell in a Cell, people were like, what? You know, now it's like, hey, this weekend the whole pay-per-view is a Hell in a Cell. It's like, who gives a shit then at that point?
Yeah.
That being said, I wouldn't say I'm already sick of it. I would like them to just, like, not have to follow the same thing every year, because I want Survivor Series to, like, have the tag team matches every once in a while or the War Games. Would you be all right if they kept the War Games in this, or, like, if they did something different next year and then bring War Games back a different year?
I think War Games itself always was its own pay-per-view, even back with WCW, and I think War Games is, like, just think about it, too, is, like, just... The whole point of Survivor Series is you have these random teams, like Raw versus SmackDown. You have these random teams.
Even in the
90s, it was just like random fucking factions thrown together. It's like, oh shit, we got Haku and fucking all these guys versus the Million Dollar Corporation. It's like, that's all it was, is these random teams facing off against each other. All I feel like the War Games does is make Survivor Series better, because it's just like, hey, Survivor Series is known for having a six-man tag match. That's what it's known for. So why not just add the little pizzazz?
I'd honestly just have them do what they did and just keep those matches, but have it be the culmination of rivalries instead of brand supremacy, because that was always so boring to me.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
It's just the elimination tag matches, Raw versus SmackDown. It's like, okay, what do the winners get for this? Nothing. Like, they're just better. No one cares about that.
That's how it was in the 90s, though, too. It was, right. I mean, I guess they kind of had eventually.
I mean, people probably cared back then because it was new, and two, it probably... There were probably rivalries and storylines.
Yeah, they had like
it.
Hulk Hogan and Macho Man team up and Ultimate Warrior. It's like, oh, this is awesome. But, you know, nowadays it's like people are used to seeing that. We see that every fucking week on
Monday
night.
Like, this should be like, I feel like this should be the pay-per-view that's like where you have all those rivalries that like start in summer or end of summer or something like that. I feel like this is the pay-per-view where big stories of that part of the year, that quarter of the year, should culminate there.
I'd like to, going back to the Hell in the Cell with Kevin Owens and Roman, I'd like that, because the first thing I was going to say is, if you're going to have a match between them at Royal Rumble, Kevin doesn't have anybody in his back anymore. Like, Sammy's gone. So it's just and what's happened every single match? The Bloodline's got involved. So you're just going to have fucking Kevin Owens versus all these guys?
I don't know. I called this, like, I want to say, like, whenever we first started doing these, like, a couple months ago, I still think it's going to lead, whether Sammy turns on them and shocks everyone or they turn on him, I still think it's going to lead to Sammy and KO winning the tag belts from the Usos at Mania.
Oh, maybe
I still think it's going to culminate there.
You think, oh man, I just don't know what they would do. Is Sammy just going to be like the super sleeper agent? It's like, I've been planning
either
this the whole time.
Or... That would be sick, or it could just, he finally gets turned on and then begs for Kevin's help because he realized Kevin was right. Or they just team up. I want that to happen so bad. Because Sammy, for the last, like, 2-3 years, he's been amazing. This really propelled him. I love him now. But, like, in the ring, he's still the coward heel. He was whenever he was the whole, like, paranoid, like, WWE conspiracy theorist guy. Like, he's won belts out of it and stuff. But, like, you have not seen what this man is capable of in the ring in, like, 3 years, because he's been playing this same character. And I just hope to God that they pair him with Kevin, because then he's going to get to really shine and show what he can do again.
They had him going against Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, so, and that too.
What the fuck?
I mean,
like,
and that was fun and entertaining and stuff. But like, I want like everybody to see what he can do again. He's so good.
Yeah. You know who he kind of reminds me of? I mean, goddamn, this whole pod is just me fucking giving comparisons to shit. But he kind of gives me like a Dean Ambrose WWE run type vibe, where it's like he just always feels underused because you know that dude's really talented. And, you know, if he went to AEW, if he went to New Japan, that guy's going to be a top dude. He's going to be a fucking top dog. He's great.
He was,
he's talented.
At, whatever he was with Kevin Owens back then.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, he could do it again, but it's like WWE right now, you know, like you said, I don't want them going.
And then,
up
like, just those two, the chemistry is unreal. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, they talked about it at Survivor Series, like, to, like, hype up the bad blood. I think they said, like, Kevin Owens, like, was the best man at Sami Zayn's wedding. Yeah. Like, just best friends. They've been fighting all over the place together, like, no matter what promotion. Or they've been, remember whenever they were together against, whenever they were going against SmackDown and all that stuff. Like, it started with Shane McMahon, and they became a heel tag team. And they faced Shane and Daniel Bryan at Mania. Remember that? Yeah. Like, they were a tag team, but, like, them as a face tag team, I think they'd be, like, really dominant. And they would just make the tag team division as a whole so fun.
Yeah. And, I mean, if there's anybody that could take it off the Usos right now, it's...
Oh, yeah. You know, they'd be, like, the most believable.
New Day, really, they're kind of...
And the storytelling's there. Sammy's been doing this with the Bloodline for the last 6 months. It would be such good long-term storytelling.
Yeah. And New Day's been hurting since Big E's been gone. I mean... Yep. Just like,
I think that's where they're going with it still. But right now, they're going to have, like, Kevin and Sammy just want nothing to do with each other.
I could see that, or those two just fighting each other, Mania.
Or they could, brawl,
or no hard bar.
Those two can fight
Street
with
fight?
A new – those two can fight with a new rivalry, a new story every year at Mania, and I would be A-okay with it.
Or if they had another 60-man Iron Man match.
Oh, my God. They
Brett
fought last
Sean.
Year. Or 2 years ago at Mania, I think. It was whenever Sammy was like that paranoid guy and Kevin just wanted to beat the crap out of him.
Oh, I got dude, perfect idea. Just do what they did Survivor SummerSlam 2002. Give him an unsanctioned match. Doesn't count. Doesn't matter for shit. Like,
oh,
Shawn and Triple H.
Yeah.
Just have Sami Zayn come out in jeans and fight Kevin Owens. It's like, oh, shit. Look, it's definitely unsanctioned. He's not dressed accordingly.
He's here to fight.
Yeah, now they're grabbing sledgehammers and shit and beating the hell out of each other. But, yeah, overall, this I love this War Games match.
I want to talk a spot real quick. You remember when they're in the middle, all of them were beating the drums on them or whatever?
Yeah, that was all,
cool,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Six-man
drum beat. They had all five of them getting wailed on.
Yeah.
I love Sheamus in this match in general. Just like, Sheamus, it really wanted me to see a Sheamus versus Roman next, but Kevin, I'll take Kevin. That's not like a
Kevin
much of
a
downgrade.
Too.
Yeah.
He busted Roman's eardrum.
Yeah, well, for that open punch
right
in the fucking ear.
So, but, and Roman was pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all good now, aren't they?
Yeah,
probably, I know he was hot. He was yelling at Triple H or something.
I know, like,
Triple
H, like, yeah, I know he, like, talked to him and everything, but I didn't know if they, like, settled it or whatnot, because I know it was unplanned, but it was, I don't know, stuff happens.
Yeah. It's WWE, baby. It happens. Yeah.
He'll get his receipt.
Hey, bring it, put it in a fucking storyline like you do everything else.
Yep.
You know? All right. Anything else to say about Survivor Series?
I thought it was a fine show. Besides, like, Finn and AJ just not getting the time that I would have liked, and then Shotzi and Ronda, but I never even really counted that on the card. I just counted this card as four matches.
That could
have
opened
a small card.
That should have opened the fucking show.
Yeah, it was five matches for what, 3 hours?
Well, the War Games matches went on for like 45
minutes.
They
did get a lot of time, because I think it was like every 5 minutes or so a new competitor would come in before the match.
I think the first one was five and then three or something like that.
Okay, then it goes down. Okay.
Yeah.
Did we ever figure out if... Luke, me and you were talking about this during the stream. I didn't know if we ever figured it out. But did WCW do an elimination for the War Games? Or was
I know
it
NXT
been first
did.
Pin?
That's the only reason
NXT
why I
did?
Thought. Yeah. NXT
I know
used to do.
This was first pin. Like, first pin, and the match is over. And I do... Yeah, I was going to say, it was either WCW or NXT. One of them definitely did elimination.
Yeah, because one of the years, it was Adam Cole's group. Like, all of them.
Yeah.
Versus, like, one guy in the cage.
Undisputed.
Yeah. And it was a cool shot, but...
I don't know, but I like this format, you know, it gets everybody time to shine, you know, and in the beginning of the match, that way nobody's getting like early pins. It's like, okay, they're just beating the shit out of each other at the beginning.
Yeah, I do like that they wait till all 10 men are in there before pinfall or submissions mean anything. I do like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I love Survivor Series. I thought this was a good pay-per-view. But I still give it 2.5 stars, but a very good, entertaining 2.5 stars.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into other news here. We don't have much, so don't worry. This was the highest grossing. Oh, I did see this. This was the highest grossing and most viewed pay-per-view in the 35-year history of Survivor Series. Did you guys know that?
That's, Luke knows. You told me that. That still blows my mind. Like, there were just so many
great Survivor Series.
Like, I know, like, they're more of a, they've been a more, like, just more media, this, like, grew their media and all that stuff within the last decade, just all this stuff. But it, that just still blows my mind. I cannot believe that.
War games. That's why.
I guess. It's
and
just
also
like,
sold out at Boston. Because
there were just not that many matches.
15,000. Is that low?
I would
15,000?
I would say so.
No. That's probably all that fucking stadium can hold. I don't know what stadium
it was. I don't know. There were just such better like TD, matches or better cards than like the last, not like the last like in recent time, but just in all time. I cannot believe that. That's
it wasn't
great.
TD.
That's great for them. But, like, that's nuts.
Yeah.
It's so crazy to me.
And think about all, like, the historic Survivor Series. Like, if you're telling me this was the highest fucking grossing, that's crazy. The capacity is 19,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they have to cut half the – or quarter of the – for the
backstage.
For the ring. So,
yeah,
I don't
know.
It just seemed like it was low. Like, that's high, but it's low for wrestling. When you think of WrestleMania, 100,000, shit like that, that's the only
thing. I'm honestly just glad they're, like, selling out arenas and stuff
and
again.
I think Royal Rumble's already sold out too.
That's gonna be just always a banger every year. I feel like the last couple of years have been the solid Rumbles.
Remember back in the day when they just fucking 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, probably too, where they would just dim the lights. They just dim the lights.
That's what AEW does now.
To not show that there's only 100 people in the audience.
Yeah, that's what AEW does now.
But yeah, this crowd was good. I liked
it
the crowd. Boston's always amazing. But yeah, it was
they
at
are.
TD Garden, the Celtics home stadium. But okay, William Regal finalizing a deal for a WWE return. It was rumored a little bit last week. Now it's almost official. What role do we want to see Sir William Regal in next?
I want to see him do whatever, but I guarantee it's going to be a – I don't, but, like, I just feel like he's going to be a backstage guy. Maybe back and help Sean on NXT.
Yeah, I was about to say, go back to NXT, help him, and then just be backstage for, like, Raw, SmackDown.
No on-screen shit?
I just don't know what they'd really do with him. Like, I think he just – because I don't think he even ever really wanted to leave because they, like, cut him, didn't they? Like, didn't Vince cut him during everything
unless
that
he's
happened?
Like, he's like a Paul for Sheamus' group.
That'd be cool.
That's not a bad idea.
Because he had the Blackpool Combat Club for AEW, so.
Either that.
Better just have him go with, like, McIntyre or something.
He could join Walter's group.
Yeah.
You know? He'd fit in fucking perfect with Imperium.
He would.
God damn. I was going to say, like, a manager. Yeah, like a manager type.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys watched it or not, but that long segment, like the full segment of MJF, his celebration, and then him turning on Regal at the end, it all makes more sense now that if he does finalize the deal and goes back, that was – if he does sign a new deal, that was his exit. I was just
When Luke sent me that, he sent me it on Twitter that he turned, and I was like, oh, shit. I was like, maybe they're just trying to do like this – like MJF doesn't need anybody. He's going to use everybody he can to get to the top. But that makes more sense that it's just like, hey – William's leaving, so let's just fucking
ride
him off.
It was just crazy that he even turned on Moxley to begin with, and, you know, he indirectly started Blackpool Combat Club, so, like, where does this group even go now? I'm just like, whatever, man. Because I liked it, but now I'm just like,
they're
done.
In
I'm
shambles
like, you guys,
now.
Like, Tony or whoever's booking this, you have no idea what you're doing. Moxley's champion. He's not even walking out with his guys. They're all in single individual rivalries. They're not together. Like, what? Just cut them all. Make them all solo. You have no idea what's going on.
MJF got the title, though. I'm all for that.
I am for that.
That was good.
You got to build that guy up.
He's the only thing your company is worth a shit.
2024.
Him and Moxley.
Oh, God. I hope. MJF, if he goes anywhere, I just hope he never gets buried. That dude's a fucking...
Well, he loves WWE. And he talked about the other con, Nick Khan.
He references them all the time.
He does.
And it's just like, I know Tony probably doesn't care because he allows him to do it every week. So maybe he's only doing that because he knows he's going to re-sign. But like... I'm honestly wanting him to go to WWE because he'd be such a great heel. But, like, I just am worried what you do with him. Because, like, just the PG on the product. Like, what, you take away half of this man's mouth. Like, it's just like, how's he gonna? I mean, he'll figure it out. He's great. It's just like, it's gonna be weird seeing his character watered down like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, he'll make it work. Absolutely.
It might get a really, if he ever does go to WWE, it might not be good on the promo.
That would,
people would get pissed if they're like, all right, MJF just said freaking or fudge.
I think that would have just as many eyes on him jumping ship as Cody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The only difference is that Cody just didn't talk about it. It was all kept quiet.
AJ Styles in the Rumble.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
It would just, it'd just be people waiting to see him show up because he's been talking about WWE on the opposing program for years.
Papa H. Oh, yeah.
Be perfect.
I don't know. I don't even remember how I got to the. Oh, it was Regal. That's why.
And we went from Regal to him.
I was like, how the hell did I get here?
What about Regal in like a GM role? Like, is Adam Pearce still like technically on screen?
Just like, I think every.
That's what we're talking about with NXT. He was the GM on that.
Yeah.
What if we make him like a president? Make him the president of WWE.
Or just something. Like, I don't know. It feels like they're kind of done ditched the managerial roles.
Yeah. I get it, but it's still nice just to have a dude that goes out there and says, hey, this is the matches that are going on.
Yeah.
Other than the wrestlers coming out and being like, hey, I'm fighting you tonight. It's like, is that all you have to fucking do?
I want to see them be capable of throwing a manager in there, setting up matches, doing all this stuff. Without like having him involved in the storyline, I want to see if they can actually pull that off because I do not think they can.
I mean, they used to do it in the '90s with fucking Jack Tunney or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yep,
Gorilla Monsoon was in it too. Just use them as like, hey, Vader's coming out. Have Vader just fuck up Gorilla Monsoon. He'll send him to the moon. It's like, okay, have William Regal go out there and take a kick to the nuts from MJF. He'd be like, oh, the fans are going nuts. So, yeah, like. Give him that. Like, I don't even know
why I care so much. I just think I agree with you. Like, I think it'd just be nice.
Yeah. Okay. Last question here. So the next WWE pay-per-view is Royal Rumble, correct? I'm right on that.
I think so.
Supposedly.
I don't think it's a December thing.
Yeah, end of January. Yeah. I mean, other than NXT stuff. NXT, you know, they're doing great stuff, but I don't keep track of. I'm sorry, but. So the next pay-per-view is Royal Rumble. I want to know, I'm going to ask each one of you, who do you want to win the Royal Rumble this year? And also, what's one surprise entrance that you would love to see? Luke, I'll start with you. Who do you want to win it?
I'm going to go with the guy that's been out for a little bit now is Cody.
Cody? That's a good one. I think he's the favorite right now, ain't he?
Probably.
And what's the surprise guy you want to see out there?
All right. Since he's been cut from WWE, he's made a name for himself. He's became really good in the indies is Zack Ryder.
Oh!
I forget what his name is. I just saw it, but I'd like to see him come back. Yeah, but as the name he is now. Is the name
right,
he is
now. Right, as his character he's been on the indies, yeah.
I look at it now.
Chandler?
Who I want to win?
Matt Cardona. That's his name.
Yeah.
I do agree. That'd be a cool surprise.
He could come out with the internet title too. Like fucking have him bring that.
He's big now too. So.
I know.
Yeah.
Who I want to win? I would say either Cody or Bray.
Ooh.
Surprise entrance. I don't know, like, if they're still wanting to do this at Mania and all, I hate long-term, like, thinking about this, but it's also fun to me. For a surprise entrance with, like, all the rumors going on and all that stuff, I would want to see The Rock as a surprise entrant.
Oh, hell yeah, I like that one. Now, if Rock comes out, how is he getting eliminated? Who's throwing his ass?
That's what I'm saying, like, that also scares me, because you know if he does, they'll have him be number 30 and win the whole damn thing, and I don't know if I necessarily want that.
But at come the same out time, Cody fucking eliminated.
But you gotta do something because Roman has all the belts. So like he can't. Whoever wins that, like he's gonna face him at Mania probably because Roman's gonna keep those till Mania.
Yeah, I mean he has.
So it's just I don't
you're
know.
Too close. Yeah, that, you would just you know pre ejaculate if you fucking have Roman lose it before Mania. At this
who
point.
I want to win though, it'd be Bray or Cody. I really don't care between the two. But
really? You want another Bray? Another Bray? WrestleMania main event? Him being the guy that beats Roman?
He's never been in the main event. He's been in a world title match against Orton. That was kind of
shitty.
I don't know, man. I just
it was cool when they changed the ring.
I want this thought. I hated it. Yeah. Cena. I think Cena's the only Mania win he's ever gotten.
Cena's fucking NWO and all that crap.
Yeah, that was kind of cool, though. It just, I don't consider it a match.
It was, they were lucky it was during the pandemic, because it would not have worked.
They're going to do like that kind of match with LA Knight next. Did you hear that?
That's what I heard about that, too. I'm interested. I don't know, like, what are they going to do with this?
I don't know.
It's so odd.
Who knows at this point? Who knows? I think this is perfect, too, for guys that are, like, in a feud and they're injured. Just have him fight Bray, and he can do those weird firehouse fun matches, you know?
I do want them to, like kind of jump the gun a little bit with LA Knight, because he's been around for a while. I think he's, like, getting up there in age, and I like him a lot.
He's great. Good.
Luke so I'm just like, you guys mic. Need to do something mic. With God. Him quick, because I feel like in the next few years he's probably going to, like, start whining. I don't know. I don't even know how old he is, but it's just like they need to do something with him, because I
like him
sounds like
Young
lot.
Rock.
Dude,
promos.
He sounds – did you ever see that video of him, like, talking just, like, under his breath, just talking real low? And he was talking about how he was on the – whatever that game show was that Rock hosted. And he was talking about how he was talking backstage, and they couldn't tell if it was him or The Rock talking, and it blew my mind because
really?
He sounded
That's
just
awesome.
Like him.
He does sound like him.
He sounds just like him. Like, he did his little, like, Rock's, like, nonchalant laugh, like, whenever he gets interviewed and stuff. He sounds just like him.
He does.
It's
That's
nuts.
Badass.
And he talks just like him, too. He's got so much charisma.
It's a shame he got hurt.
Yeah,
he's hurt right now, but I don't think it's anything serious. He's going to fight at Royal Rumble, I'm assuming. But, yeah, I like LA Knight. I think – so I got to go the opposite way, obviously, just for the podcast sake. I'm not going to say Cody Rhodes or Bray. How about this? This is a super long shot. It's just me being an asshole at this point. Give it to – what about – Theory wins it. Fucking Theory's comeback is complete. I mean, he obviously loses the U.S. belt by that time. And then you're like, hey, Theory lost. You blew the fucking Money in the Bank. You blew the U.S. title. And now guess what? He wins the Royal Rumble.
He's like a Ray where he runs it all the way through.
Underdog.
I mean, crazier things have happened. Like whenever, Del Rio won the Rumble, and then him and Edge opened Mania for the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah.
And he won the freaking Rumble. I mean, like, crazier things have happened.
And obviously, I got to go with this for my surprise entrance. Give me fucking Cena. I want
That'd
Cena.
Be really cool.
Give me Cena. I know he's been rumored a lot to be in there. I want John Cena bad. I want him back. I'm sorry, John. I talked a lot of shit on you while you were here. And I apologize. I want you
have
back.
Have him return and either face off with Theory in the Rumble, or have Cena and Logan Paul both be surprise entrants and tease each other or something.
I don't think Logan Paul can wrestle. He's fucking hurt.
I think he's getting better.
Yeah,
it ain't as bad as you think.
Yeah, didn't they say it wasn't as bad? He'd only be out for a couple months.
Yeah.
Oh.
He should be
okay.
back by Mania.
Oh yeah, I think he'll definitely be ready by Mania. But.
On a side note, though, I could definitely see Logan Paul being a surprise entrance in the Rumble.
That would be cool. And that's like, I mean, if you want to boost him up, too, it's like, holy shit, he should have been out 2 years. He injured everything in his damn knee.
It's like the Cena when he came back.
Yeah,
it's like
Satan. He almost died.
Half the time.
He had sepsis. He had an infection in the surgery, and he's still out there. It's like, hell yeah, give me that. Okay, that is it. That's the Survivor Series pod. Our next podcast is probably going to be the Royal Rumble. Or we might have an AEW pay-per-view in between there. I don't know the fucking AEW
I don't know either.
Pay-per-view schedule. But yeah, that's it. You guys know how to end it. You ready?
Yeah.
PWO. 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 PWO.